Our text is from Matthew chapter 11, these words, "Blessed is the one who is not offended. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our dear Lord Christ, everywhere in the world is an annoying preacher. The gospel will never be treated in a different way. The gospel is, and it will be, a message at which offense is taken, not by the humble, but by the most holy and most pious, the smartest, the most powerful on the earth, as experience shows. Blessed are those who know and trust that the gospel is truly the word of God, for they are healed, are comforted, and fortified against all such offense. That's Luther, Martin Luther, preaching a couple of years before he died on this Sunday, the third Sunday in Advent, back in 1544. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that through faith in Christ, by God's grace, our sins are daily forgiven and we are at peace with God, that gospel, it just doesn't sit right with the world. Why not? Well, how could peace with God, our peace inside of us, in our hearts and minds and souls, how could it be tied up together with a guy who walked the earth 2,000 years ago? With a man, yes, a man, who was crucified on a cross. With a Jewish teacher who did miracles. No. Peace with God should be about each of us overcoming obstacles, finding our own way, doing our own thing through meditation, growth in knowledge, and essential oils, or whatever. Of course, back in Jesus' day, the question was raised about John the Baptist. That is, Jesus himself raised the question as to the identity of John the Baptist, asking, why was it that everyone had gone out to see him preach, to preach there in the wilderness east of Jerusalem? I mean, John the Baptist, being a Levite, being a priest, should have been serving in the temple like his father had done. His father Zechariah, when the angel Gabriel appeared to him announcing the pending birth of John. But no, John the Baptist was found preaching in the wilderness, dressed outlandishly even for that day, and preaching repentance. That is the acknowledgement that man is indeed sinful and needs daily to repent of that sin. That is to ask God for forgiveness in humility. Now, that message was at that time counterculture, something different, something new. The preaching of John the Baptist was not tied together with the sacrifices still being made in the temple in Jerusalem while he preached. And it wasn't tied together with the 613 laws of the Pharisees, which were enforced upon the people. And it wasn't tied together with Jewish culture and religious life. No, according to the preaching of John the Baptist, it was just the person, the individual, the single human being standing before God. And that person's life laid bare before God, standing before him with that person's sins uncovered, acknowledged, and confessed. That message of John was offensive. And so offensive it would eventually cost John the Baptist his life. Yet that's why the people went out to see John. The preaching of John, as counterculture as it was true. It was true. And it was realized that it was true, that John was the prophet of God, the Elijah who was to come. The people who went out to see John, they abandoned the temple. And they abandoned the 613 laws of the Pharisees. And they abandoned Jewish cultural religion to find and embrace the reality of their own individual existence before God. Now, fast forward to John the Baptist being imprisoned and sending his disciples to Jesus to ask Jesus if he were the Messiah. Now, usually we think here the issue is not John's doubt, but the disciples of John's tenacity. That is, having learned the truth of their standing before God through John the Baptist, the disciples of John didn't want to let him go. They didn't want to turn in faith to anyone else, even to the ultimate reason for the preaching of John the Baptist, and that is to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as we noted last week. And I think we can understand that. I think we can understand that. Often there are those who, having embraced countercultural ideas in their teens and 20s, they never abandon them. Even if the culture changes, even if the things against which they railed actually were stopped and were corrected, why? Well, such people get so used to being against so many things that they find their identity by being against things. And they are known for being against things. So over time, they just live each day by being against something, anything, as long as they can be against something. The preaching of John the Baptist, which was indeed countercultural. I mean, remember what John said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came out to see him? He said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" Yes, even though the preaching of John the Baptist was countercultural, that was not its ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose of the preaching of John was to prepare the people in Judea, that is, the children of Israel, for the Messiah, the Christ, for Jesus. That's why John sent his disciples to Jesus. And that's why Jesus did not directly answer the question set to him. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? But instead, Jesus pointed the disciples of John the Baptist to his works, that is, the works of Jesus. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. That's the problem, isn't it? The challenge, our challenge. That is the offense of Jesus. That all the world and all the world history of the world is tied up together with him. That no one comes to the Father except through him. That he himself, Jesus, is God. That he is God, offered himself as a sacrifice for us. And why? Why is that offensive? Why is that offensive? Well, what kind of debt does that create? Think about that. What kind of debt does the crucifixion of Christ create? I mean, when someone does something for us, we don't mind if we can, in our minds, repay them in some way. They make us a hot dish. We can respond in kind. Maybe we'll give them a casserole instead of a hot dish. They give us a ride, we can give them a ride. They shovel our walk, we can pay them some money. In other words, when someone does something for us, we're not offended because we can do something for them in return. We can pay them back. But in Jesus Christ, we have God's Son doing that for us, which we can never, ever, ever repay. And that is offering his life, not just as man, but as God for us, so that our sins can be atoned for by his blood, so that daily, yes, every single day, we can live before God, our sins are forgiven. This is what God has done for us. This is what he's done for us. And it can be offensive. For how in the world are we ever going to pay him back? How are we going to pay him back? Well, we can't. We can't. And so if we like to live our lives thinking that we're paying our own way through it, or through them, the cross of Christ can be offensive for us. But that being so, why not embrace the gospel of Jesus, that God forgives our sins through his death on the cross? Yes, why don't we embrace the gospel as the word of God, which it is, and live daily in such a glorious counterculture of forgiveness? rejoicing that as John the Baptist was, so was our Lord and Savior himself, executed for his preaching of offense, his destroy this temple and in 3 days I will rebuild it. Or in another way, if you crucify me, I will rise again from the dead in 3 days, which is exactly what Jesus did. How counterculture is that? And maybe it just is that we don't want to be counterculture. That instead we'd just like it if we could somehow fit Jesus into the culture of our lives, and we would really, and so we would really appreciate it if he were not so exclusive, so different, so offensive. Like the disciples of John the Baptist, we must admit that we can find ourselves wanting to hold on to what we have, to what we have in our lives, and we don't want to look for someone or something else. But what is the gospel of Jesus but the very Word of God to us? The Word of God to us that He loves us and that He's redeemed us and that He wants to make us holy. That is, He wants to make us otherworldly. Other than the world, so that we can live ultimately in a world in which there are no blind, no lame, no leopards, no deaf, and certainly no dead. All of that is a reality in our Lord and Savior Jesus. Why would we take offense at that? Instead, let's take offense at the world. The world as it is, the world that wants a Christ of its own making, a Christ who's not, in the words of Luther, an annoying John the Baptist-like preacher. And in humility and awe, let us embrace Christ in faith, rejoicing in the blessing of God, and so being healed and comforted and fortified against all such offense. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.